Well, we're going to begin with a well-known favorite. Put this over here for the time being, get it out of the way. Standing on the Promises. If you know this one, you can't be seated, so let's stand together and worship the Lord. Just right there. Thank you. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. John, one second. I don't know if it's me, but I can't hear this up here. On the monitor, I'm not hearing anything. All right. Because I don't know where I'm at. I know I'm in church, by all means. Let's go to the second verse. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I am standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I am standing on the promises of God. Father, we just thank You. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You, God, that we are in Your house. And Father, we just ask You'll bless each and everything that we do, all the words that we say. Father, may You have Your grace and Your glory. Father, lift us up. This is the day You've given to us, God. We rejoice and are glad in it. In Your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Not sure what you did, but was something turned off? Okay. All right.
trial sore. I go to him for blessings, he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain, he sends the harvest golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's leading days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend. And he is. Without him, the last 7-8 months, I couldn't have borne it. I really couldn't. He is my friend.
All right, what's going on in the life of the church? We have coming up next Saturday, we have the Malu family gathering at Metro Parkway. It's going to be from 11 o'clock till 4 o'clock. There's going to be games, fun, food. They've decided to do it on a Saturday so that we wouldn't take away from church. They wanted to be able to have a little more time, a little more gathering. There'll be a white elephant going on. Some other activities, but that's next Saturday, beginning at 11 o'clock. What else, John? Back to Church Sunday. Next week is Back to Church, so if you've got somebody you want to invite, now's the time to invite them and get them engaged and bring them back to church with us. Go ahead. There we go. Ladies Bible Study. I know that they're beginning with Priscilla Schreier and the book that she has there. They're doing that study at Hope Crossing. It's $12 for the book. That's on Tuesday nights, and they're having a great time. It doesn't start till the 17th. I was thinking they were having a great time, but I see all kinds of posts from Brent about the upcoming activity. So if you want to join them, I think it's going to be a great time of study. Wednesday night. We're not having Wednesday night this week. We decided to hold off. Jonathan and Maria couldn't be with us. I'm kidding you. I have to be down at Ashland Theological Seminary. I have some research work that I have to do. So in order to try to minimize the disruption, I am going for 2 days. We actually leave this afternoon. My chauffeur's driving me down there. I'm still not driving yet. So she's driving down there, and I'll be on campus all day Tuesday and all day Wednesday. We'll be back Thursday. I've got to meet with the advisors and schedules, and I've got some research to do for my proposal that I'm presenting this fall. Hopefully it all goes well, and I get all of the research done that I need to do, but we'll be down there for 2 days and then be back. So the following week we'll be back. Fall conference. I have information with me. I am going to be actually presenting with the conference on Saturday the 19th. There's information here if you're interested. It's a Friday night, a Saturday for most of the day. It starts at 10 o'clock. There'll be continental breakfast at 9:30. And then Sunday afternoon at 3:30, there's a worship service following. So if you're interested in that, we'll make sure that these are in the back, and you can get a copy for yours. It's $10 to help cover the cost of the food and registration. Pantry is in the back. Please remember, if you're bringing non-perishable items, fill our pantry in the back, and we should continue to celebrate with those around us. What else am I missing, Beth? Bread breakers at the end of the month. We met with a farmer yesterday. We were hoping to have corn at the end of the month. His field is running out for the first time in I don't know how many years. He told us that he probably will be out of corn in about 2 weeks. So we're hoping that we can get some and maybe keep it cool and for the following week, but we're going to do our best. There's no guarantee that we'll be able to get the corn, but we're going to try. But that's at the end of the month, bread breakers. Hopefully I'm driving by then, but who knows. What else do we have for the life of the church? I feel like I'm missing something. Oh, update. We ordered the installation of the furnaces. I'm waiting for Flame to give us an install date. So we've tried to do our best to work out the financial situation as much as possible, but we're still looking at about $17,300 for both furnaces and both AC units. That's the best we could do. We were able to get some money down at the beginning. When the install is finished, there'll be another 30 days and another 30 days after that. So we're doing our best to space it out so that we can get both of them installed before the winter time. We're concerned about the coolness, and so that's ongoing. Am I missing anything? I know if you're a fan, Michigan State actually pulled it out yesterday and won. Michigan lost, just like rare fashion, but we're not used to that as a Wolverine. We're not used to seeing them lose like that, but we're praying the Lions will win today. Matthew Stafford and the Rams are coming into town, so Jonathan's going to go root them on, right? All right. That's, huh? Yeah. No, Jim is over in, isn't he in San Francisco? Yeah. Well, the Rams are coming in, so Stafford and the Rams. All right. Well, we're going to sing together a melody. First is Consecration. Let me see Jesus only, and is your all on the altar. So I'll do my best. Stand and worship with us. The songs are listed in your bulletins. Follow along. The words will be up there. We're hymn number 475, 451, and then 471. So I was hoping my other two voices will be with me, but they're not feeling well today, so I'm going to trust that you guys are going to sing out. So we'll begin with hymn number 475.
Since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be wholly thine. My life, my Lord, I give to thee. My talents, time, and all. I'll serve thee, Lord, and faithful be. I'll hear thy faintest call. I care not where my Lord directs, his purpose I'll fulfill. I know he everyone protects, he does his holy will. My life, O Lord, I give to thee, my talents, time, and all. I'll serve thee, Lord, and faithful be. I'll hear thy faintest call. My home and friends are dear to me, yet he is dearer still. In my affection first he'll be, and first his righteous will. My life, O Lord, I give to thee, my talents, time, and all. I'll serve thee, Lord, and faithful be. I'll hear thy faintest call. My all, O Lord, to thee I give, accept it as thine own. For thee alone I'll ever live. My heart shall be thy throne. My life, O Lord, I give to thee. My talents, time, and all. I'll serve thee, Lord, and faithful be. I'll hear thy faintest call. Dead to every worldly pleasure, dead indeed to sin am I, but alive to Christ my Savior, daily to Him I'm drawing nigh. Let me see Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus only. Let me see Jesus only, only He can satisfy. Let me strive not for the riches of this earth that soon decay. From the world I turn to Jesus and His more abundant way. Let me see Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus only. Let me see Jesus only, only He can satisfy. Storms and fury beat around me, tempest off my heart assail. But my pilot's name is Jesus, He will calm the wildest gale. Let me see Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus only. Let me see Jesus only, only He can satisfy. When I face death's chilly river, when upon its brink I stand, I shall fearless be if Jesus leads me gently by the hand. Then I'll see Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus only. Then I'll see Jesus only, only He can satisfy.
As we prepare for a time of prayer, if you want to be seated, that's fine. Whatever you're comfortable with. This is a well-known song as you're all on the altar. We want to keep Gary in our prayers. Gary is home. He's going through some antibiotic treatment. We need to pray for Jean. Keep Beth in prayer, my chauffeur, as she leads me down to school. But just that God will bless the needs of the church and continue to pour His Spirit out on us. So let's sing together. It's hymn number 471.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You will surely be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. You would walk do his sweet will. Be free from all ill. On the altar your all must be laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You will surely be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You will surely be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul. Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You will surely be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul.
You may be seated. Father God, as we prepare for a time of prayer, God, and as you have prepared our hearts, God, we really ask, the big question is, are all on the altar of sacrifice laid? God, does your Spirit control our lives? Have we given you everything, God? Have we turned over all that we have, all that we know? God, this is your day. Father, we know that you are in this place, and we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. And God, we just ask that you would, again, anoint the needs of the church. For those that are away, continue to put your hand upon Gary, God. We're praising you, God, as Gene is saying, thank you, Lord, that he is home and doing better and resting, God, but he still has got some ways to go. Father, we need your touch upon Gary today. God, continue to heal his body, bring strength to him. Father, give him the blessings and the touch that you need. Be with Jean now, God, as she administers the care, gives him the antibiotics. Father, just be with her. Father, be with our church. Be with the needs. God, you know exactly what we need. Father, you know the needs of the furnace. You know the needs of the church. And God, you know the needs of the people. And we have gathered in your name, asking you, Lord, just to touch us in a miraculous way. Thank you for the music this morning, God. Thank you in all things that we can serve a God who is a risen Savior, Lord. And thank you that, Father, we can be consecrated to you, Lord. Father, we just ask now that as we spend this time, Father, that we will worship you, Lord. God, that you will bless the rest of this service. You'll bless the music. You'll bless the songs. You'll bless the word, Father. May it be life to us. Father, may your touch upon us. We'll thank you, God, for all that you are doing. And God, we know that around us there's difficulties, there's challenges, financial burdens, spiritual burdens, God, but you are able. Father, we pray that you'll touch Renew and Ivana, who are not feeling well this morning. God, anoint them, Father, with your touch. Thank you that we can continue to worship you. And we're still asking, God, that your hand of anointing continues to be upon Suzanne and Louis and many of those who are away today. Father, thank you for your presence and for your love. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, sit back and be blessed for a moment. The King is exalted on high. Let myself turn around here and get positioned a little bit better. We're going to be looking in the Old Testament today, looking at the book of Proverbs. Spent just a little bit of time last week talking about that we are on the threshold of greatness. We talked a little bit about that we are one step away from being great. You know, we live in a time, if you watch the news, there's all over the reports of name and fame. There's every day we hear reports of those who are getting lucrative contracts and doing real well, the CFOs, the CEOs, and all of them that are excelling and doing well. And somehow it seems to be that we measure success by what we earn and how much we can make. And sometimes success is measured in the wrong measures, I'm afraid. But we live in a time to where we look at that and there's a part of us that go, wow, how are they worth that much money? You know, why do they make that much money? And they'll tell you, well, you know, they've got big responsibilities and a lot on their shoulders and they're worth every penny of it. Some of us might differ with that thought. But we turn to our attention here in Solomon and we're reminded that in Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, as we begin this, that found in the appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, a name that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God. In chapter 22, we're going to look here. If you will, turn in your scriptures there. It's page 1016 of your large print Bibles. And if you were able to, stand with us. We're going to read just a few verses. Trying to get myself positioned here, and I apologize for that. I'll get this right here in a second so that I'm not moving around this all the time. But here in chapter 22 of Proverbs, we read these words. A good name is more desirable than great riches. The esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. In verse 22 of the same chapter, do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Solomon's talking about an interesting subject here, talking about a name. We know that in scriptures that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. A name is often powerful. I remember as our children were close to being born, each of them, we began to think about names for them. And lo and behold, did we recognize that after we put names to them and gave them a name and we looked up the history of what their name means and we look up some of the emphasis about names, we begin to see, wow, that name really fits. You know, there's something about our name that is impactful and it's powerful. There's something about knowing who we are and the history of that name. The question really begs to answer, do I want a name or do I want fame? And that's what the story talks about today. Solomon indicates that a good name is more desirable than great riches. He said the rich and poor share this, that God is the maker of them both. The first unit in today's reading in verses 1 and 2, he doesn't reject wealth or wealthy people. The value of a person's reputation above their wealth. In the second unit, he talks a little bit about the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is a slave to the lender. The rule of the rich over the poor, and this Hebrew word iniquity talks about oppression and injustice. And the final unit begins with what should be read as a forceful command. Do not rob the poor. Why not? The poor are already poor. How much more are you going to extract from them? The Torah and the reading seems to imply the seizing of financial assets and the taking away from those. Solomon rends for us today some wonderful information, a name or fame. And that's what we're going to look at today. But Solomon gives for us in the very beginning what I would call a formula for peace and prosperity. He says in chapter 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor than silver or gold. For Solomon, this is a formula of peace and prosperity. He said both riches, silver and gold, and an honorable reputation are good. But if one chooses those, consider his son Rehoboam. Rehoboam chose wealth in the scriptures. We hear about his life, higher taxes, He'd rather have the riches more than love and respect to the people. Well, if rights would have it, according to the stories, Rehoboam suffered. As a result, he lost most of his kingdom, lost his family. Does that mean that happens to everyone? No. But he's asking a question. What do we want? A good reputation? Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. He tells us that the elders need a good reputation towards outsiders as well as those in the church. King David was called to have a great reputation, that the king did things and it pleased all the people in 2 Samuel chapter 3. Paul always tried to have a good conscience towards God and fellow men in Acts chapter 24. So is the reason a good name better than riches? Well, in the end, we have to deal with God according to verse 2. And riches did not impress him. He loves the upright man who fears him and walks before him in his face. Our fate in this life and the next rests in God's hand. Therefore, if you choose between a good reputation and wealth, Solomon says we should choose a reputation, a good proxy for keeping God's law. Can riches really bring peace? Can riches give you everything that your heart desires? We think so, in some respects. Now, I'm not saying money is bad, so please don't take that wrong. And please don't think that I'm saying that having any kind of wealth is bad. That's not what I'm saying. What do we choose? Can riches bring peace? Maybe. Maybe not. The problem is that what we find throughout the scriptures is those who are so focused on their wealth are more concerned about making more money and more money. And their focus is on how much more they can make. They're concerned with growing that wealth. They're concerned with adding to that wealth. They're concerned with how much is in their bank account. And their focus is so much so on their wealth that they lose sight of peace and prosperity. That doesn't mean that happens in all cases. But if you talk to someone who has a nice portfolio, what's their focus? How they're going to grow that portfolio? How is that going to suit them in their retirement years? How are they going to grow that portfolio? And yes, that's important. And yes, that is necessary in today. But what is more important, peace or prosperity? In a name and fame kind of game, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, we know that he taught us that happiness or blessed are those peacemakers as they will inherit the earth. Peace and contentment. What does it mean to feel peace and contentment? Webster defines it this way. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Contentment is the quality and state of being contented, showing satisfaction with what you have and who you are. Paul said that, did he not? Paul said, I want to be content in all situations, in all circumstances, whether I am well fed or I am hungry, whether I am oppressed or free. Paul said, I am all things content exactly the way I am. Paul had an impediment. He had like a hitch in his giddy up. And Paul said, I've got this thorn in the flesh that I'm asking God to remove. And God said, no, my benefit is satisfactory in who you are. Paul began to understand, it's no secret in the world today, there's so many things that put stress on us. The stressors might be from school or work. I started this semester, what I thought were eyes wide open, and it's become a little bit more than I anticipated. But that happens, right? But we have emotional fears. Fears of death, fears of family, fears of divorce, fears about our health, loved ones. We may worry about our finances situation, obligations to pay a bill. More stress leads to anxiety, excessive worry and fatigue. You watch someone who has a huge amount of stress on their life. Look at their facial features. Look at their life. Look at what they wear. Look at how they are. Peace comes from God. And we know that. One of the first things we find in peace is to have peace regardless of the situation. Peace is a process of knowing who the author and perfecter of my peace is. I can still have all of these things surrounding me, and I can still lay down at night and have peace because I know who holds the key to all things. If some of my plans are not working out, what should I do? Should I get mad? Should I get angry? Should I be upset? Should I bring everybody into these circumstances? Should I have a pity party, is what they call it? Should I just bring anybody in and say, well, I'm having a bad day, and guess what? You're going to have one too. If I'm not feeling well today, I want to make sure that all of you are miserable just like me. Isn't that how it goes sometimes? We wake up with a chip on our shoulder and figure out, well, if I'm not going to have a good day, you're not going to have a good day either. Sometimes we want that, but we can make a choice. In peaceful situations, I can say, I'm not going to get angry over the circumstances. I'm not going to blame others. I'm going to remain calm and remember that things could be a lot worse. Dr. Robert Schuller used to write about thinking about how things used to be and knowing that if we recognize the worst that it possibly can be, there's only one way to go, and that's up. I read a book by Willard Jolly, and it's entitled Stumbling Blocks Become Stepping Stones. And in his book, he writes that, you know, sometimes we face stumbling blocks. Our road is not always peaceful and nice and cozy, and the path is not always easy. And he said, we can take those stumbling blocks, and they can become stepping stones for glory. We can choose to remain calm in the situations. The next thing we can do to have peace is we don't have to act or respond the way other people do. You know, if somebody's really mad or angry, you can resent them and be offended by what they said, or you can choose to forgive them, realizing that too, I have my weaknesses, and I could respond the way that Jesus did. Peace means that I don't have to act the way you are. There's something joyous about that. If you're coming at me all mad, you're coming at me full throttle, I can just take a step back and turn and walk the other way. We're told the examples in the scriptures that I can choose to walk away, but peace says that I don't have to respond the way that you would think I should respond. It's my decision. I own that decision. I'm responsible for my actions. Peace and prosperity means that I don't have to fall into your game. Peace can be experienced when we receive divine pardon. Think about what Jesus did. The blood on the cross, Christ made for us. He himself was our peace. If by faith we accept him, we are justified by God, and we can realize that our inner serenity comes through knowing him. When Christ enters our hearts, we are freed by the haunting task of things around us. Our lives are clean. The contamination and unfitness that we normally thought we had is now removed. Even though, more important, we can stand before God and know that we have peace and security because of him. Solomon indicated the true formula is to know that all of us are made in God's image. Whether I am rich or whether I am poor, whether I am content in all situations, contentment comes from knowing that I am secure in my faith and my relationship with God. And if I'm content in my relationship with God, I should be content in my relationship with you and others. So I guess what's better? If that's the formula for peace and prosperity, what's better, name or fame? Hebrews says in the second line, good favor, meaning good reputation or high esteem. It's not a celebrity name. It's not something that is high above all things. It means I have integrity, honesty, responsibility. I cannot be bought with money. But indeed, my riches are my father who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Thinking about what it means to be created by God in our material condition. Our invitation to understand that. I, on the other hand, really believe I have no intentions of retiring wealthy. I don't see that in my future. If God provides for it, wonderful. But I'm going to use every ounce of energy that I have and every bit of money that is put away. I'm going to spend it and use it until the day he calls me home. If I go home penniless and broke, I'm going to go out the same way I came in. I can't put it in the casket with me. I can't take it with me. And the weight of the heaviness of this world is just going to continue on. I'm not going to let people like Bernie Madoff make off with all my money. you know, here's a little key for us. Do you know that in 2023, Americans lost more than $4.6 billion to imposter scams, totaling nearly $2.7 billion with scams today? Phone scams are the number one way that they're trying to steal your money. They will call you and tell you there's somebody else. You'll have robocalls that says you have a family member who is in dire straits and needs you right now. And if you don't give them money, they're going to go to jail. My response is, let them go to jail. If they deserve to be in jail, have a nice time. Call me when you get there. They always like to tell you that the IRS is going to come and arrest you. I said, well, would you like my address? I'll be waiting at the door for them. They want to give you your, they want to steal your apps. They want to impersonate people. They want your QR codes. They want to steal your SIM cards from your phones. One-time password, romance scams, online purchases, employment scams, check fraud. List goes on and on and on. Dad used to say, P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every minute and two to take him up. The point I'm trying to make is, name or fame, there's someone wanting to steal everything you have in every corner. They're not only calling you, they're trying to get into your computer, they're trying to get into your apps. They want what you have. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 through 16 in the New Living Testament says, dishonest money dwindles away. He said, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Hope is deferred. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Whoever scorns instructions will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of the death. Good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction. All who are prudent act with knowledge, but the fools expose the folly. What I'm trying to say to you is we must be careful as people. We work hard for what we have. We work hard for what we know. Be careful who you trust. It said a long time ago that you should keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. That's a shame that we have to live in a society like that. We should be able to trust each other in this church. If someone calls you, double check the phone call. Make sure you know who it is. Be wise about what they're doing. Be wise as a serpent. Know what's going on around you. Know the phone calls. Don't answer them. Don't go back to them. Don't trust them. Call someone. Make sure you know what you're doing. Paul said, and Solomon says, name is more important than fame. A good name built on integrity, hard work, and service to others. You know, the problem is those robocalls, they're not working hard. They're working hard at stealing what you have. He says it's more important than public recognition, a strong reputation, positive character. I grew up in a time to where you should be able to trust your name. Somebody tells you they're going to do something, you should be able to depend on that. You don't need a signature. I don't need all the answers. They should be able to trust who you are. Fame might bring certain privileges, and a well-earned name might bring somewhat of a thoughtful foundation. Songwriter says, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. The truth remains that a name is a name. Scripture tells us that a name is something that you will take with you. It is a name that will last forever. God has given you a name. We are told in Revelations that unless your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is no, when he calls your name, and he calls you from the bellows of this life, and he knows your name, there is openness, there's generosity, there's peace, there's security, because he knows my name, and my name is written there. The truth of it, I want a name more than I want the fame. Then he moves from injustice to generosity. As we move in the last part of this section, in the second set of verses 8 and 9, we pick up this idea, whoever sows injustice will reap calamity and the rod of anger. At first glance, it doesn't seem like this verse says much, but that the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is a slave to the lender in verse 7. Boy, how true is that? You know, we used to think that you could loan somebody money and you could get that money back. If you loan it, be prepared. Chances are you're not going to get it back. I found that true in family. You want family, you think out of anybody you should be able to help your family out and they should be able to give it back to you. Now, what ends up happening is you owe somebody some money and guess what? They don't want to talk to you anymore. That person who just got that money from you, every time you see them, guess what? They see you coming, they walk the other way. Is that not true? They see you walking down the aisle, they know you in the store, they're going, oh my gosh, I owe this guy money, and I'm going the other way. You call them on the phone, they never answer. Send them a text, they don't respond. Guess what? They know they owe you the money. And guess what? That's what Solomon meant. That sometimes those that owe you money, they lord it over you. Got a family is just that way. And he says, we got to be careful. The representation of the poor, whoever sows injustice, understandable, anger, and the boot of all. Dr. Will Gaffney noted, the word used in the King James Version here for iniquity is better translated injustice. It reminds the hearers that what is sown in grossly wrong remains sinful. We've come to understand in our society that that's how people treat each other. Doesn't mean that it's right, but injustices are on every corner. We drive lately, and I get to see things a little bit more than what I got to see them before. With my wife behind the wheel, I'm busy looking around me. I see people on the corner that I might not have seen before. It makes you wonder, how did they get there? It asks a lot of questions about the social ills that are around us. Ethnicity, injustices. We think we live in a country where it's all over and should be done with. But you know the truth of it is, we're nowhere near where we need to be. We've got a long way to go. Every corner there's oppressed. Every corner there's marginalized. We want to resist the temptation to try to comfort everybody in this sermon and say, oh, we live in a life that's oozy-goozy and injustices no longer exist. Nonsense. They existed in Solomon's time. They still exist today. We should be more concerned about building a community, being generous to each other, expand our relationship, a generous heart, well of the resources. Know that everything that we have and everything that you have, you wouldn't have it if it wasn't for God's good grace. Your health, your wealth, your abundance, everything you have. God calls you and I to be a steward of what we've been given. A steward of all. He can give it and he can take it away. And I've seen many who have lost everything and still give God the glory. God wants you to know that you're just a steward of it. One day, when it's all done, I don't know if anybody's going to put a plaque on my casket that's going to say one day, wow, he was a good hard worker. He worked 60, 70 hours a week and was a good man. No, I don't want them to know that. I want them to know that this is a person who loved God, and no matter what he did, loved God. Our abundance comes from knowing God, who is the author, that we would be good stewards of what we have. But Jesus tells them, be on your guard of all kinds of greed. For one life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. Nikki Rosa wrote about living in the resources. She remembers a generous world where everybody is together. Her definition of love is not built in wealth and stuff. It's built in relationships. And I think the proverb writer gets that notion. And we've come a long way. We need to move from injustices to generosity. Generous of heart, generous in well-being, and generous to people around us. You know, the scripture identifies social injustices through the text. We're called from the Old Testament to the New to understand the gap, to bridge that gap between others, to build the family of God. And it's built by integrity and people. Personal integrity is defined as having strong morals or values, following those principles in your words and your actions. Integrity means that I stand for who I am and for what I believe, a name or fame. A person's values, the individual's, respects a person, especially that they are different. Name or fame means that I'm respecting those around me. There are people who have built a name, and I love reading Mother Teresa's book. I love that she was a champion for the less fortunate. She lived a life being worthy of a calling. Martin Luther championed a cause. We may not like it, but he championed a cause. There are many throughout our life who have championed cause for reasons, not because of their fame, but because of their love for people and the integrity that comes from it. Mother Teresa went to Calcutta with only 2 rupees, a dollar to her name. She never went without. She never had a lacking. God always took care of her. Her moral standards to uphold a personal commitment. You know, we need some of that today. We need someone who is willing to say amongst all else, don't defame my name, don't defame my family, build integrity in who you are. Lack of integrity shows itself in a lack of values, dishonest gain, and immoral principles. Personal integrity means that you are true not only to yourself, but to God. And true that others will not easily influence you. You stick to your ethical principles, and what you want in life is to be the person God has called you to be, a name or fame. The question really becomes is, what do you want today? Yeah, I'd like to have some fame, and there are those who have come to me over the years and said, you know what, you need to preach like so-and-so. I said, well, I'll never be so-and-so, so I guess I can't preach like them. So I guess if you enjoy that, then let their preaching be what you know. I can't sing like Sandy Patty. She's got a voice. I'm not like Sandy Patty. I'm not Lionel Harris. I can't sing like him. I'm just who I am. And I want to be exactly the way that I am. Integrity in people calls for us to be exactly who we are. You either take me for the way I am and take me for who I am, but I want to go every day knowing that that's the most important. No matter whether I work, whether I'm at home, or whether I'm away, we value our family, we value our God, and we value who we believe in. This song that I bring to you in closing is just exactly that. It calls for us in closing to know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I picked that song for that reason, because I know whom I believe, and I know that I'm wondrously made, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. I don't understand it all, and I don't profess to know all the answers. I don't know what the future holds. I wish I did. I might go and play the lottery and might win $800 million. Who knows? But if I had those numbers, would I share them with you? I'd like to think I'm worthy enough to say, if I got $800 million, you're welcome to about $50. Oh, should I give you more than that? Dude, just think about that. If we won $800 million, how much would the church get? You think you'd give the church actually 10%, $8 million, or $80 million, or whatever it is? I bet you the church never sees a dollar of that money. I'm being funny, but I'm being a little bit serious. What's more important, a name or fame? I know who I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able no matter what, whether I leave this earth poor, penniless, and broke. It doesn't matter, as long as I know he knows my name and I trust in him, and that integrity is worth more than all of that. Sing with us in this closing song, 433, I Know Whom I Have Believed In.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has made known. why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me did impart, nor how unbelieving in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moved, convincing us of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him, or meet him in the air. And I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Father, I pray that you will bless your people today, God, that we'll know whom we have believed. We'll be convinced, Father, that you are able to do more than we can ask or think. And Father, I pray that you'll bless your people today, that we'll have a name that is like your name, Father, a name that is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, a name that you know and a name that we believe in. Father, give us integrity and give us your peace. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. I had surgery 3 weeks ago. I had a partial tear on the Achilles, so they went in and cut me open all the way down, about 25 stitches. They opened it up, repaired the Achilles. They had to repair a bone spur. They had to fix the shelf, and they reattached it.